football on off the ball.
It's the producers in football form. If you're really going to mess up a football club, how could you do it better than this? I just don't think you could.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeba going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Alan Quillen and Fiona Hayes to talk all things Munster. Big game for the Reds this week as they face Glasgow. We'll talk all about that. We'll talk about everything that's going on around Munster as well. And we'll look back on Ireland's Six Nations and look ahead to the Ireland Women's Six Nations campaign to come. So that's all to come on this episode of the Red 78. Delighted to be joined, as I mentioned, by Quinny and Fiona. Guys, how are you?
Good, Rory. Not too bad now. We had a break last week, so we're ready back over with the men's Six Nations, ready to talk about this Munster revival now that it's going to come.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Quinny, I suppose the big sporting story from the last couple of weeks was Fiona Hayes returning to the pitch at the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't see any headlines on the Sunday papers or the Monday sports headlines that she made a comeback. Maybe she's a secret weapon for Scott Beaton's Six Nations tilts in the next couple of weeks. Is there any truth you might be going back straight into the Irish squad?
I've had to burn all the footage, Quinny, of that. Anyone that saw that, I was like, delete.
Were you walking around the field or did you actually do anything on the pitch?
Crawling around the field, let's say, Quinny, crawling.
How did you find it, though, Fiona?
What were you playing?
I was threw me in front row, which was grand, so I got away with a few rests at scrum time. It was only the seconds team, so it was grand. We were absolutely hammered as well, so I was coaching. And then I think when you get to your 40s, I definitely lost it anyway. I was absolutely not mentally, I mean, I was so terrible. I went for a kick, a catch in the air, and I saw someone coming and I said, here, shag that, I'm getting out of here. I knocked on the ball, let him have it.
Fantastic stuff. So can we expect to see you regularly now with Bose as the weeks go on?
Absolutely not. They've asked me never to return to the pitch again. They have enough footage.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. All right, it's a lot to get through on this episode. Fiona, a load of comments reaching us that you have in front of you.
Yeah, so thanks again, lads, for sending in those comments. It's great to hear from you. So we had PJ McGovern, a couple of Quinny, you might answer a couple of these. And I'm sure we'll touch on a few as well later in the show. What is the likely return timing for the long-term injured? Is it possible before the end of the season, Rory? You might have a couple updates on that later. This is a good one, Pat O'Connell. Does Peter Romani stay on another year with the new head coach, or does he potentially join the coaching team? And does Big Tom automatically become the first choice six? Alex Murphy had Edwin Adogbo has been out since December the 24th. Salanoa is even out longer, which is an abnormally long rehab for both knee injury and Achilles injury. Do you know if there's any updates on them, or should we be worried? Surely questions need to be asked at this point. We have thoughts on the Crowley situation from Liam Mead, and Quinny, you might jump in on this, Sheffield Electric as well. A bit off topic, but why did the RFU reduce the number of central contracts in 2010s? Also, Tommy Bow pointed out that there are three centres and three locks on central contracts, so there's no reason not to have two out halves as well. Crowley has been in every match day 23 for nearly 2 years now.
A lot of questions there, Fiona. Which one do you want to go to?
Crowley's central contract or, you know, what's the reasoning if he's been in the matchday squad for 2 years, how come they're not looking at it or whatever?
Yeah, I think going back to the central contracts, I think at the start there was a lot of people, if you were on the Irish team, it was nearly given that you got a central contract. Again, that depends on what level and the type of money that your agent would negotiate. So, for example, some regular starters, the more superstar players would be on the higher money. Someone would be on lower money, but still be called a central contract if they were just breaking into the Irish squad. I think they tightened that up to to try and get an elite group who were regular players for Ireland. And so from a business model point of view, it was probably made more financial sense. And plus, if you had regular internationals in the province that deemed it was obviously beneficial to the provinces, then if you had guys who were centrally contracted, like Peter Manny, Tyke Byrne, Conor Murray in the last couple of years, Munster didn't have to pay their salary. It came out of the IRFU budget. So the benefits were there. It's changed now that the provinces have to pay 30% of that central contract now, so which makes it a little bit more fairer, I think, because there was a lot of talk about Leinster. A lot of their squad were being paid by the IRFU. In turn, then you get their budget. They could expand it a little bit more and had more money to play around with. There's no reason why Jack Crowley can't be put on a central contract. He has been very close to the Irish squad for a number of years, played all last Six Nations, played in the summer tour. Obviously, in November, things changed a little bit. So he's probably not in that position where you're sending your agent in. It's all about timing with contracts. You know, sending your agent in now saying we should be on a central contract. You don't have as much strength in going in now. Obviously, if Jack Crowley played all of November, all of Six Nations here, Ireland won a Grand Slam or a championship, the timing is perfect. So look, it's all about timing. There's no reason why he can't be put on a central contract. I'm sure it might get to that situation. But look, the RFU won't be bullied either. And to be fair, they haven't. They've always been very fair. I know that from my own experiences. I don't think anyone has ever been cut and let go because of 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. We're hearing the money that Jack Crowley's been offered is very, very high. And that there's a significant difference in what he's on at the moment. So it's just business. It'd be catastrophic for Munster. And I would say Ireland as well, but more so for Munster if they were to lose Jack Crowley. They're trying to rebuild. They're trying to get back, be really competitive again. They have plenty of challenges, new coach coming in, and someone like Jack Crowley, if they were to lose him, it would be catastrophic. So, of course, he can be put on a central contract, and let's hope it's sorted. For me, obviously, there's a status with being saying you're on a central contract as opposed to a provincial contract. Mm-hmm. You know, back in my time, sometimes there wasn't a huge difference in the financial difference. They were just named differently. But look, I think for someone who's been regularly involved with the Irish squad for the last couple of years, I think hopefully they can get something sorted with him. The other question was the long-term injuries. Well, we keep asking that question ourselves. How Munster could do with John Klein, Edwin Odogbo, Roman Salanoa, you know, Tacker Abrahams, Mike Haley, Shane Daly's on that list now. Jack O'Donoghue's been out for a while. Jeremy Lockman, is there any more? There's a long enough list there. And it's shocking, really. And it's difficult for them. Dermot Kilgallen, you know, since he's signed at the start of the season, he's had a number of injuries. So it's very difficult for them. The update, obviously, we've got on Craig Casey as well. Craig Casey, Jean Klein, Jack O'Donoghue, they look like they're going to be back. And in the next period of time, Casey and Klein train fully this week. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be involved against Glasgow. They'll possibly be involved against Connacht next week. So, yeah, the Munster fans would love to love to see some of these players come back and give them a bit of a shove and a push to make sure. For me, the significant situation here with this Munster team now is to make sure they get in the playoffs and qualify for Europe next year. I've said it all along, it's a very tall order that they could possibly go and win the URC. Who knows if they get some of these players back. But it's imperative. And the next 2 weeks, which we'll talk a little bit about with Glasgow and Connacht away, they have two away games. They could easily find themselves. They're now on fifth. And if you go down to 13th, which are Benetton on 28 points, there's 5 points between fifth and 13th. So you lose two games there, and the other teams who are in that zone pick up points. Munster could find themselves 11th, 12th, 13th if they don't win the next two games. So it's really important. And the injuries coming back, the injured players coming back, would obviously be very positive for the Munster fans, and they'd be very happy to see that, but also for the squad, because you talk about confidence. And again, my own experience, you see injured players coming back. It's great. Training intensifies. You get a feeling that you have a bit more depth, you have quality on the bench, and that you can give these games a real crack. So hopefully they get back soon, but it's been a diabolical year with the injuries again.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still reaching for something. The ones who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon, reimagined through thoroughly modern design. It's got a tough, rigid body design and durable, lightweight monocoque architecture for extra strength. With precise detailing and compelling proportions, the exterior of the Defender is designed with integrity. This is a vehicle capable of great things, engineered to meet challenges head-on with an exterior that's been tested to the extreme. Experience the Defender's legendary capability off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. So, are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Yeah, it certainly has been. It's kind of our main talking point every week is Munster's injury list. It's good to see it's lessening slightly, but it has been a massive talking point for Munster. And I suppose they haven't been able to field their strongest 15 at any stage across the year because of those injuries. But we look ahead to the clash with Glasgow tomorrow night. A big game for Munster coming into it, Fiona, on the back of that defeat to Edinburgh, which Ian Costello said that first half performance was their worst 40 minutes that they've played by quite a distance. It's been 3 weeks now since Munster have played a game, which is an ideal one. I suppose you're licking your wounds, Fiona. I know they had a hit out against Leicester last Friday night. 42-19 was how it finished in favour of the English side. Brian Gleeson, Conor Ryan, Sean Adogba scoring the tries there. But it's been a long time for Munster to be sitting around waiting for their next game, Fiona.
Yeah, that's it. We discussed it the last time at the break as well, Rory. What, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I suppose on the back of the performance, we would have liked to have seen them run out the next week and fix a lot of wrongs that went wrong, because certainly handling errors in that game wasn't good enough. Ian Costello even spoke about it after the game. But look, it also is a chance to reset. So hopefully they've done that. As Quinny said, you've the likes of Casey up and it in camp now. You've, you know, John Klein, it would be unbelievable if we saw them back for that Connacht game. So I would imagine, in listening to his press conference a couple of days ago, Ian Costello had spoke about the last, I think, 10 days in particular. So I would imagine they've had a look at themselves, had a little bit of time off, and psychologically he spoke about, you know, what they want and where they're going from here. So I think it will say a lot in, yes, it's away to Glasgow, but what a game to come back into. So it gives them a chance to fix that. The other thing is, obviously we'll have to rest the internationals for that mandatory week, but it should mean Scotland are similar. So I think Glasgow are on the back of a loss, a 1-point loss to Ospreys, so they'll be hurting as well. But certainly this squad, I would imagine, looked at how they cope under pressure with skills, because that's something that was sloppy, and it's an area I know Rowntree in particular was huge on training to that intensity. And I think watching Munster, it's something they'll probably have to go back to, because the sloppiness under pressure, you can't have it at this level. And yes, there can be a couple of turnovers, but far too many. So I would imagine it was a very, very intensive last few days of training with the view of Glasgow coming this weekend.
Yeah, and look, Glasgow are flying high, Quinny, obviously the reigning champions. It's a huge game for Munster in their URC aspirations, but like, There is only, what, 5 points between Munster and Benetton in 13th. So, like, you need to be winning this game if you want to, like, be thinking, like, right, we need to get into the last eight of the URC here.
Yeah, I think even pre-Christmas, Rory, you know, it was a very kind of topsy-turvy start to the season. Some positives, but some negatives. The big standout loss was away to Zebre. Tough 2 weeks in South Africa, Leinster match. They were all, there was three losses in a row there. And it was a, you know, they had a really good win in Ulster, I think. So there was, it was very up and down there. Disappointing loss to Leinster in Thomond Park. So it's very easy to kind of see that there was a lot of challenges there at the start of the season. And the injuries played a big part in that. Of course, some subpar performances, particularly that Zebre game away. That was the first half against Edinburgh probably tops it slightly, but there were two dreadful performances that second half in Zebre. We spoke a lot about winnable games post-Christmas, and three games were highlighted, you know, I kept speaking about in the URC were the Dragons game, the Scarlets game, and the Edinburgh game. And I thought 14, 15 points out of those three games is, it gives you a little bit of comfort going into Glasgow and Connacht, because let's be honest about it, the next 2 weeks are incredibly difficult. Fiona mentioned, you know, they have a lot more internationals. They're the current champions, Glasgow. They've lost four games this season in the league. Last week, the last game against the Ospreys away. They have a raft of internationals that were away with Scotland. So it was a totally different Glasgow team.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.